Good morning. This is the Game Fish and Parks Radio Show. I am Bryce McVicker, and with us today is Rhett Russell. Thanks for coming today, Rhett.
No problem.
Looks like we've got a nice, cool, potentially breezy weekend for a resident pheasant opener this week. It should be pretty good pheasant hunting weather. We've got a little bit of rain, which is going to be a lot damper out there today than it has been the last few years for resident pheasant opener, and that makes things a lot nicer, makes it easier for those dogs to work. And if it's not going to be so hot and dry, then we don't have to worry about those dogs tipping over. They can get a little bit better scent, and I would suspect that our harvest might be a little bit better with those conditions than we've seen the last couple years. I know that was one thing that we really blamed poor harvest on last year for the first couple weeks of the pheasant season, was because of those warm, dry temperatures. So hopefully this is a positive as far as weather goes for our pheasant season, and we will know more probably this time next week as to what things are going to look like moving into opening day. So we've got Rhett here, so we're going to talk about a few things fish related. First off, kind of getting to a colder part of the year. We're probably at least a month or hopefully 2 months away from frozen water, but nonetheless, when it gets to this time of year, we start thinking about getting things out of the lakes, and one of the most important things that we need to get out of the water is dock removal. So what's kind of the process we go through for getting them out?
Yeah, we like to see the fishing season extend into the fall best that we can, but you know, typically what we do is, you know, our policy is ice in, ice out, but with as many docks that we have throughout the region and as few staff as we have this time of year, typically what we start to do is some of the lower use areas that we know there's not much fishing pressure on, and the roll-in docks, we start to take them out first. They they require a little more manpower. You can get a little wetter doing that stuff, so it's nicer doing a little bit nicer weather than when the snow has fallen and everything else. But the major bodies of water like Ponset and Bitter and those areas that we know we have some good strong fall fishing opportunities, and if the weather holds up, we'll keep them in as long as we possibly can. You know, a lot of times we're actually breaking ice to get those out, but there's a fine line there. You know, all of us that live in South Dakota know it can change overnight, so we kind of try to stay ahead of the game there. We don't want to damage any of the resources or get any of our staff hurt, because working in them icy, slippery conditions when it's cold and wind blowing and everything else can be damaging to us as people too, you know. So we like to keep them in as long as we can, but we are on the verge of starting to jerk some of them out, that's for sure. So,
good deal. I've seen quite a few private docks coming out of the water as well, so I think a few of the local companies, especially on like Compesca, that go around and pull docks out of the water are in full swing right now trying to get the rest of those docks out before it gets any colder.
Yeah, and with those lift systems, it's nice to do it right now while it's a little bit warmer. You know, the water is going to start to get cold pretty quick, and I know them guys that remove a lot of the lifts and that type of stuff, they've got to get into the water a little more than we do. We've kind of got a nice system where if everything works the way according to plan, we stay dry. That doesn't always work, but we like to stay dry as best that we can while we're doing it, because that water is a little chilly this time of year. So,
yeah, and with lower water on lakes like Compesca, it'd be the best idea to give yourself a little bit more time this year getting docks in and out, because it could be a little more difficult pulling them out of the water than it has been the last few years with these water conditions.
No doubt.
Couple other things in the fisheries world while we have you here. There was an article that came out here not too long ago, came out through email through the GFP website, about the sturgeon reintroduction program that's been going on up at Big Stone Lake. Looks like that they had some good sturgeon come out of there, some upwards of 24 inches.
Yeah, you know, this is a cooperative project between South Dakota Game, Fish, and Parks and Minnesota DNNR. And we're just trying to reintroduce sturgeon into that fishery. That, you know, last known photographs and pictures of some of the bigger ones that we saw have been in the 50s and 60s. Yeah, it looks like the last few stocking efforts, the last two or three stocking efforts have survived. When we stock them in the lake, they're 6, 7, maybe 9 inches long at the most. And just this last month here, we did some netting with DNNR over in Minnesota and found some up to 24 inches. So it looks like the stocking has been successful. It's a little bit different than the stocking programs that we're used to in South Dakota, but we're just trying to reintroduce something that has gone away. And now that we're getting water quality like we would like to see up on Big Stone Lake, a little better than what we have there during the 80s and 90s, we think this could be successful. So,
yeah, kind of an interesting project. So how long have they been putting the sturgeon in the lake?
You know, 2 years for sure. This might be the third year. Time kind of slips by me at times. But, like we said, we've seen them up to 24 inches. So they are growing. They are, if you think of prehistoric or something in that realm, they are a slow-growing prehistoric type of a fish. So slow growth is common for them. They're typically a long-lived fish with, slow growth and long lived, and we're just trying it out. So
interesting. So I wonder what the main goal will be once we get these up to a decent size. I wonder, do people eat sturgeon?
I'm not sure if they do or not. I guess I've never had it, but
yeah, I don't know either. Of course, they have a caviar,
right,
I guess, perspective overseas in Russia and stuff, but
yep.
I don't know if these are the type that would be any use of that or not.
You see, the pictures that we have of them in the, in the good old days, so to say, have them staked up, nailed to a tree or to a wall, and pictures taken with them, so they must have done something with them back then, but I can't say that the Russell cookbook has any sturgeon recipes in it yet anyway, so.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Nonetheless, it's another sport fish that folks will be able to go after if they desire.
Right, and we did see some, I did hear some reports of some people seeing them down in their holes while they're ice fishing, and then the commercial fishermen did have one of them in there, when they were doing their net pull last winter, and I think that was about a 16-inch fish too, so. So they're around now, so far they're surviving.
Interesting. Another thing that yourself and a lot of the other fisheries guys out of the Webster office have been working on the last month or 2 months or however long has been our electrofishing sampling that we've been going around and doing. And a couple of our local lakes have been showing pretty good. I guess one of them, for instance, has been Ponset. I went over a few of the numbers a couple weeks ago, but now that you're here, we'll be able to break those down a little bit further.
Sure. When we electrofish in the fall, or the fisheries crew does, what they're looking for is what we would consider an age zero walleye, which is this year's hatch, basically. We do that for a couple reasons. One is we want to see what we need for stocking purposes in the future, and we also want to know if we had any success in stocking that we did. And then another thing that they do is determine what percentage came from a stocking, what percentage was natural. So it doesn't tell you everything, but it does give you a good indication of what lakes did have a pretty successful hatch and what have survived up until fall anyway. Lake Ponset, typically what we're looking for is like 75 fish per hour is typically what we would consider a good year class. Ponset, for the third year in a row, was significantly higher than that, is about 340 fish per hour. So, and we did not stock Ponset, so that's a natural year class there. So goes to show that that Ponset is still kicking out pretty good fish numbers anyway. So, other lakes in the area, Reitz Lake was, about 60 fish per hour, so that's fairly strong year class. The lake everybody's curious about was Bitter Lake. It looks like we had pushing the 40 per hour, so that's not quite up to the high year class that we want, but it is stronger than what we've had here recently, so it looks like that maybe is on the rebound some. another one that looks to stick out with very high numbers is Lynn Lake, up in, up north of us there, and that was a very strong year class there too, so. Like I said, it doesn't tell everything, and that doesn't predict survival into the next year's age class either, but it does show it does give us some signs of what's producing fish and what isn't. So
I always go back when I talk about fisheries to when I was in college, and every time you would ask a fisheries question in any college class, they would always say, it depends.
Right.
And I remember when I had you print this email off, the first thing that the biologist said when we were going over the numbers is, well, it kind of depends. And
kinda
it's all,
depends, yeah.
All variable from lake to lake. And one of those examples is the Wabay numbers on that sheet. I think we all know that there's a fairly strong population of walleye in Wabay. But according to that, age zeros was only two fish.
Two fish, yep. You know, and a lot of it depends on the night and the timing and that kind of stuff, too. So it's no different than like a brood route for pheasants. If you don't have the ideal conditions, you maybe don't see everything that's out there. It's just an indicator, you know, and it's not an overall. It's just something that we put in the tool bag to help us predict some stuff. But it's not an overall telltale sign of what of a fishery that's good, bad, or otherwise. It's just one of the tools that we use. So,
yeah. So if you have an electrofishing sample that comes back at two fish, but all the fishermen are coming off with limits, you can probably guess that there's probably more in there than
right.
Two.
Yep. But probably something to do with timing. So
yeah. Nonetheless, it's always good data. It's fun to look at it and speculate. And like a lot of our fishery stats, it does show really similar results to what I see in the field as far as checking people. Seeing a lot of fish caught on ponset in the electrofishing gear, and then you go out there and you check fishermen, and they're catching a lot of fish. So it's all relative. It seems to really correlate with the numbers and what fishermen are seeing out there in the field. Let's see here. A couple other things fishing related. You've got a project going on Lake Farley.
Yeah. For those of you that aren't familiar, Lake Farley is the, you've probably heard of Farley Fest up in Millbank, but Lake Farley, we're kind of creating an urban fishery there. It's in conjunction with the city of Millbank, but I think next week we're going down to pick up a fishing pier, much like you see on Third Avenue Pond here for Lake Farley. So the folks up there will have some additional fishing opportunity there. And it's a good cooperative project between the city and Game Fish and Parks. And we're just trying to, you know, it ties in well with access, you know, reasonable access. You know, any kid could ride their bike over to Lake Farley, be fishing on the pier there, and try to get them hooked into this habit that we call fishing anyway. So
very good. I heard you mention Third Avenue Pond, and I don't think we mentioned it last week. We did talk about it on our Thursday radio show, but they did stock some rainbow trout this week again.
Yes.
In Third Avenue. That's the second time they stocked it this year.
Yep,
I think.
We always do a springtime stocking and a fall stocking. You know, trout are kind of susceptible to low oxygen levels and warm water, so the spring stocking, when we put it in there, we actually want them fish caught and taken out of that system. It's a put and take system. We're not gonna create fish there, but we have the water, so we create fishing opportunities. So we know that, and then we have some of the panfish and some catfish and stuff in there to tie us over into fall, and then when the water temperatures get to the right temp, We bring in some more for this late fall season and through the ice, you know. We stocked 600 of them in there, 602 to be exact, I think, made the trip from the Black Hills over to here. And they are bigger than they have been in the past, so they really put the feed to them there at the hatchery to try to get you some bigger trout. But some of these, there's going to be a little more pull on the line than the last batch that was in there, that's for sure. So.
Well, good. Well, it'd be nice if a few of them would tide over until Camp Chance next year, because I know the kids always like catching them. We'll just run through a quick fishing report here, since we're on the topic of fisheries, and then we'll move into a quick hunting report and get things wrapped up. But as far as fishing goes, things have been really slow this week. A lot of it revolves around weather. We've had at least a 10 to 20 mile an hour wind all week. that's really kept the boaters at bay and even been kind of tough in the evenings to go out and shore fish because it's getting down to the temperature where you're kind of freezing your fingers off if you're out there too late. But we're seeing a few shore fishermen on Goose Lake, and they haven't been real successful catching a fish here and there. The fish they do catch are very high quality fish, 17 to 22, 23 inch fish. So things are looking pretty good as we move into winter on Goose Lake. A few shore fishermen on Long and Stink Lake as well. And the fish they're catching up there have been a lot bigger, 23, 24 and upwards there. Not much in the eater size, so most people are getting to catch one fish a night and bring that home. Outside of that, in Coddington, not much happening. There hasn't been near as many people fishing Kempeska as we've seen the last month or so, so that's kind of slowed down. And other than that, Ponset, like I said, with the weather, not much for new news down there. Pretty much the same report, a few perch and a few keeper walleye, but I think people are still catching plenty of fish, just got to throw most of them back. Dry Lake number two last week was really busy, a lot of nice fish coming off. This week that's really changed. We did see a bunch of fishermen down there again over the weekend as well, but just not very many fish coming off of dry two. Indian Springs has been the same story. Quite a few fishermen over there again this weekend, but not near as many fish coming off as we've seen the last month or so. So this week has really kind of been kind of a downtime, not a whole lot going on. Some of the earlier season ducks pushed out of the area. We're seeing a little bit of a goose migration in and out of the area, and the fishing has kind of been quiet. So not a whole lot of sportsmen out on the landscape in the last 10 days or so. But this weekend with resident pheasant kicking off, cooler temperatures, I expect to see a lot more duck hunters out there this weekend, and of course some resident pheasant hunters running around. Last weekend, it sounds like, Rhett, you got to participate in some youth pheasant hunting down in the Huron area. How did things go?
Yeah, we saw plenty of birds. It was hot, especially for a guy like me that's out of shape and not ready for that. But the kids got a lot of blasting. They left a lot for seed, but we did see quite a few young birds. So, this, you know, for those kids, it's kind of hard for them to identify within range, you know. But we saw birds throughout the day. There is a lot of corn out there still, so I think the hunting is just going to get better in that area, obviously, as the harvest progresses. But, I was real positive with the birds there. So,
good deal. Well, I'm interested to see what the resident hunters shoot this afternoon, and we'll report back to you next week. And I hope everybody enjoys the long weekend. Rhett, do you have anything else before we go?
Nope.
All right.
Be safe.
Very good. Have a good weekend.